Praise God. This morning we are still on how to be led by the Spirit, and we just completed on dreams and interpretation of dreams, and one of the methods by which the Holy Spirit will lead our lives. And the other primary method that we are going to consider this morning is visions. Visions. And as we look into visions, sometimes when we hear people talk about having a vision from the Lord or seeing a vision from the Lord, we have the impression that that belongs to a few special people. And well, maybe God speaks to them in visions, but God does not speak to us in visions. And that was my impression when I first knew the Lord and was a young Christian and young believer. But as I grew in God and studied the Word, I realized that seeing visions should be a normal part of the Christian life. Does not belong to just a few. And of course, bear in mind the background that we have already studied, and we are not repeating those ground, but I may have to state it before we go further. That is, you should know by now that there are three types of vision. And one is what we call a closed vision. Another is a open vision. And the third is the spiritual vision. And the closed vision is a vision which you see when you are in a trance. And it's closed and called closed because your five senses are closed up. You do not experience the five senses anymore. You are only experiencing the inner spiritual visions, the spirit man. And so, like for example, if right now you have a closed vision, you may see the Lord Jesus and you may see the angels of the Lord, but you will not be sure whether you're in the spirit or in the flesh. And that was the type of vision that Paul experienced when he said that he knew a man in the Lord, who was caught in the spirit, whether in the flesh or in the spirit, he does not know. Why? Because he's in a trance. His five senses are temporarily suspended. The vision that Peter saw in Acts chapter 10 of the unclean animals coming down and being taken up three times is a close vision, for he was in a trance, in an ecstatic state, when his five senses were closer. That's a close vision. The second type of vision is what we call a open vision, where you are seeing the vision, yet at the same time you see the natural world. You could see you see the Lord Jesus in an open vision now. You will see the pulpit, you will see the platform, the carpet, the chairs, and the Lord Jesus standing there among the physical and natural things. So when you say open, it means that your natural senses are still open, an open vision. Like, for example, the book of Acts in chapter 12, when Peter was being taken out of prison and an angel was leading him out of the place. Obviously, he has to see the natural place. And he saw the natural doors open. And he saw the angel going through those doors and he also following the angel. That is an open vision. The third type of vision is what we call a spiritual vision. And that is a vision that you see with the inner eyes of your spirit. And that type of vision is sometimes close to what people call the imagination. But it's not imagined, it is real. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. For now, let's suffice to say that that spiritual vision is what you see in the inner eyes of your spirit. And it's not particularly strong enough for you to call it that you enter in a trance. You're not in a trance. Neither is it an open vision, because you cannot really see the natural and the spiritual as strongly. The spiritual may be a bit blurred. So it's just something that you see inside your inner eyes or your spirit. That's called a spiritual vision. And of the three types of vision, they are classified into the highest vision and the lowest vision. The lowest vision is the spiritual vision. The second is the closed vision. And the highest type of vision is the open vision. That's the highest type of vision you could see. But the lowest revelation is the highest vision. Terbalik. Okay, just for you to Understand? It's the other way around. And so you see, let me put it very clearly. Like, for example, this would be the close vision. This would be spiritual vision, close vision, and open vision. So the open vision is the highest type of vision, and spiritual vision is the lowest type of vision. You don't really enter into that spirit realm, but yet you saw a glimpse into it. That's why it's the lowest. However, the lowest type of vision is the highest revelation. And the highest type of vision is the lowest revelation. Why? Because when you see an open vision, you don't need much faith. I mean, if an angel appeared to you and say, go thou to house number 34 and Jalan Ramasami, and there will be a man named Tan Arthur, and he will be there, and he will have a sickness on his left leg, and when you open the door, he will be there. So there's no need for you to exercise much faith. All you have to do is just obey. And so being that, it is the lowest type of revelation, but the highest vision. Over here, the lowest type of vision, but the highest revelation, is what you see with the inner eyes of your spirit. And it takes more faith to operate what you see in the spiritual vision. Because of that, it is considered the highest revelation. For you need faith. For you'll be asking yourself, is that from the Lord? Is that my imagination? And you need more faith to follow. Like in a prayer meeting, you suddenly have a flash vision where you are impressed to see this guy at Jalan Ramasamy in Tan Arthur. And then you have to go there and visit him. But you're wondering, is it me? Is it the Lord? So when you really operate and move into that, it needs more faith. Needs more faith. Being exercising more faith, that was the highest type of revelation. Having laid that and repeated that so that in case you have not heard that teaching, then we can go further from there. And what we're going to see here is that it is inherent within each one of us to be able to see visions. Seeing visions is not something that is airy, fairy, and something that belongs to a few mystical gurus. It is something as common as life itself. And the whole concept of seeing visions, we need to understand first the makeup that God has of the human being. See, we have mentioned how God made man in His image. And when Adam was first created, Adam could relate to the spirit world and the natural freely. He could touch and reach into the spirit realm as much as he could reach into the natural realm. There was no blockage of his experience of God. If an angel was there, he could have seen. There was no such thing as invisible in Adam's time. For the spirit world was as visible as the natural world. It was only after Adam fell that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, how that the understanding of all Gentiles are darkened, being alienated from the life of God. When Adam fell, his spirit was cut off from the life of God, and his understanding was darkened. It was darkened, so that he could not now see the spiritual realm. There is a natural light, there is a spiritual light. There are two kinds of light. There's a spiritual life, there's a natural life. And in a natural realm, let's compare the sense of sight. In order for us to see in a natural, we need light. If suddenly light is removed and we are enclosed in a place where no light comes in, it would not be possible for you to see. That is why at night you can't see as clearly as in the daytime, for there is less light to see. And what do we do in a dark room when we want to see objects? Imagine stumbling in the room and into your house and the lights are not on yet. You got to feel your way to the switch. Or if your brother would, you grab a torchlight from your pocket. He's always having it there. And you would switch it on. And then with light, you could see. See, the sense of natural sight depends on light falling on objects and bouncing off objects and reaching your pupil and your iris and into the nerve cells in the eyes. It depends on the perception of light. In the same way, spiritual sight depends on spiritual light. According to the degree of spiritual light that is allowed to enter in into our spiritual eyes, we would be able to see visions. It's proportional. And even if the whole room is bright and your eyes are covered with some object or some material that prevents light from getting into your eyes, you will still not be able to see. And the Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, that the understanding of man has been darkened. There's a shadow that has been cast over the understanding of man. As a result of that, man cannot see into the spirit realm. He cannot see into the spirit realm. And let me qualify that. Generally, he cannot see into the spirit realm. Now, we realize that some people are open to the evil spiritual realm. That is because the demonic powers are at work giving their type of imitation light. And opening the person to the demonic realm and relating to them. There is a positive and a good realm of God, where God's Spirit works and opens and enlightens the understanding. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Having their understanding. And bear in mind that the word understanding there is the word dianoia. Having their dianoia darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. It says the dianoia was darkened. Therefore, they cannot see into that spirit realm. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 1, the opposite is mentioned in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding, or dianoia, being enlightened. Now, the Greek actually says, flooded with light, that you may know what the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Says that here, the believers were having their understanding or their dianoia enlightened. Of course, the word dianoia has been translated as imagination in Luke chapter 1, verse 51. The imagination of their heart. And the dianoia, remember, dianoia is the part of our soul that is able to see into the realm of the spirit. It is the part of us that sees pictures. There are two parts to our mind that operates. One part of our mind is a part that reasons. That is the word dialogismos. D-I-A-L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S. Dialogismos. Is a part of us that reasons. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 4 plus 4 equals 8. If A equals to B, B equals to C, therefore A equals to C, that's the part of our mind, reason, the dialogismos. And the word logis is where we get the word logic. The other part of our mind is the part of our mind that sees pictures. Like we say, a dog. Shoop, in your mind will come a picture. So your mind doesn't see the typewriter ribbon that type T-H-E-D-O-G, door. No, your mind straight away thinks of a door. And when I mention the word dog, to your mind right now, is a recall, and you recall whatever dog you remember in your life. If you own a poodle, you think of a poodle. If you own an Alsatian, you think of an Alsatian dog. If you own a Cocker Spaniel, you think of a Cocker Spaniel. But if I say a big black Alsatian dog, shoom, your image change. Now that is nothing to do with logical thinking or reasoning. It's just a part of our mind that visualizes. Now our mind at the same time consists of the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And we have to repeat this stuff in order to teach how to visualize and how to see into the spirit realm. And so we just need a little help there. Praise God, Balan. And praise God, brother. Amen. Yes. So, who you stand over here? Let's say he represents Dialogismos. Okay. Stand facing that side. Yes, thank you. So, and you're over here on this side. And you're Dianoia. Praise the Lord. And so, Dianoia, Dialogismos. They represent a part of our conscious mind. We could consciously imagine, consciously create a picture. We could consciously reason with facts that are given to us. And in that realm, we realize there is an association and working of the two in our conscious mind. And as we look into that, let me give some definitions here of perception so that we understand them. And see them and understand them clearly. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. We want to add the illustration in before we go further. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It tells us that the word thoughts and intents of the heart are being awakened by the Word of God. That is by the working of God's Word changing and transforming our lives. Now that working of God here is explained by two Greek words. The word thoughts is a Greek word entomesis. Entomesis. And the word intense is the word ennoia, which has been translated in 1 Peter 4 verse 1 as the word mind, ennoia, E-N-N-O-I-A, ennoia. Then the other word is entomesis, E-N-T-H-U-M-E-S-I-S, entomesis, and which has been translated in Acts 10 verse 19 as thought, when Peter thought about the vision he saw. Now, the word ennoia, it's a derivation from the word dianoia. They just knock off the D-I-A and put the E-N inside. Dia in the Greek is a preposition that means true. And N is a preposition that means inside. The ennoia, the intents, the depths of your being. And as we look at those two words, we need a little more illustration. So we have brother there, and we have your help too, praise the Lord, you will come right up. And so that consists of the conscious mind, right? The conscious mind. And so, what's his name? Dianoia. What's his name? Dialogismos. And so, let's our brother here be Enoia. Okay? Enoia, stand here, praise the Lord. And he will be entomesis. Okay, entomesis. Now your dialogismos and your dianoia are the two parts of your conscious mind. One part that reasons logically, the other part that imagines and sees creatively pictures. Then you have a subconscious mind, which is in the depths of your being. The subconscious consists over between 90 to 95% of our mind. We are only using about 5% of our mind in a conscious realm. The subconscious is the rest of it. And the ennoia is the subconscious part of your dianoia. It's a part of you where the action rises and where the pictures are stored. See, right now, in your conscious mind, you don't have all the pictures that you're seeing from the time you're born until right now, this very second. You couldn't, because your conscious mind cannot be looking to all those things at one time. So what does your conscious mind do? Your conscious mind stores it in the subconscious. You can be sure you have a lot of pictures inside hidden. And some that you may not even be aware of. And inner healing is the work of the blood of Jesus reaching into your subconscious and removing all the bad pictures and the bad reasoning that has put a bondage in your being. That's what inner healing is. It's the blood of Jesus entering your subconscious and removing the wrong pictures that are causing your life to be in a bondage. Fears. Fear and a phobia can come because of a wrong image and picture. Like for example, a person can have a phobia of water because perhaps at a certain time in their life, early in childhood, even before they have developed their dialogismos to reason like an adult, the child may have fallen into water, nearly drowned, and the picture is locked up inside their dianoia, transferred into their anoia. And for the rest of their life, they are afraid of water, and if you ask them, they cannot explain. But the fear is there, because locked in them is the picture of them drowning. Sometimes it could be other pictures of hurt. And somebody has hurt you so much that you could remember and picture the hurt. Or picture of anger or a crisis you've gone through that the picture is still locked in your imagination. And let me tell you, the pictures that are locked in your imagination can hold you stronger than prison bars can. You could outwardly be free, but that locked picture today motivates you, today affects and influences some of your decisions and some of your reactions to people and to circumstances. That is why people need an inner healing for the blood of Jesus to step into that and cleanse it. Remember Jesus ministered inner healing to Peter when, if you read the Gospel of John, we don't have the time to go into that, but we already taught it in the inner healing series. How, when Peter denied the Lord Jesus, he denied the Lord Jesus when he was warming himself. Remember that. He was trying to keep himself warm while Jesus was on trial in the Gospel of John. The Bible mentioned that the fire that he was warming over was a coal fire. Now remember, coal fire gives a peculiar smell. It's just like if you fry foods with coconut oil, your food has a peculiar taste. Coconut oil puts its taste inside the food. Most people don't use it today. They use either corn oil, soybean oil, or something else. But coconut oil gives the food a particular taste. A coconutty taste. And you know that it has been fried with coconut oil. There's no mistake about that. And so when you burn something with a coal fire, or with charcoal, there's a particular smell, as in a house. You could smell it's a charcoal fire. It's not just a gas burner. Now, Peter denied Jesus in that thing. And can you imagine the agony that has entered his life, the picture that is locked in his imagination from that day onwards? He has denied Jesus. And just when the cock crow, Jesus turned and looked at him in the Gospel of Luke, and he wept and cried. Can you imagine what kind of picture he locked inside his imagination? So that later on in the Gospel of John, right towards the ending, when Peter had gone fishing and Jesus was on the shore and said, "Children, have you any fish?" And Peter realized it was Jesus and he swam to Jesus. And when he came near to Jesus, he smelled the same smell. He smelled burning of coal fire. Immediately comes all this imagination of that day that he denied the Lord. I mean, if you had an agonizing crisis and experience at a seaside, I'm sure the next time I bring you to the seaside, the first thing you do is you remember that. And it depends on how the degree in which it affects your life. If it really has damaged your life, you will never want to go to the seaside again because of that imagination. So Jesus has to minister inner healing to Peter, right at the place, and imagine Peter remember everything. I mean, when you smell the coal fire, you remember it. And right at that time, Jesus made him confess 3 times that he loved him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Of course, he used the Greek words. Do you agape me? Do you agape me? Do you phileo me? And 3 times. And from that day forward, every time Peter smelled coal fire, he may at times remember the denial, but he's going to remember how he made a confession of faith, of his love for Jesus. See, Jesus ministered to him right in that occasion. And so if you have a fear of swimming, you need to get into the water and overcome that in your life. Anyway, that's another topic. So, dianoia is the imagining part of you that sees picture. And noia is your subconscious. Your subconscious part of your dianoia that locks all those things in. And over here we have the dialogismos. And entomesis is the subconscious part of your dialogismos. See, there are some reasonings that have been locked inside us. Some people have the wrong conclusion. And their opinions are not factual. Neither are they correct. Because their reasoning is wrong. But it gets locked into them, and today it influences their action, their decisions, and everything else. Because of wrong reasoning. It's just like some people have the wrong reasoning that God sends sicknesses. See, they logically conclude by a superficial reading of the scriptures, God sends sickness as this, God sends sickness as that. Ah, therefore God sends sickness. It's part of. And so, in their reasoning, they accept it. Or in their reasoning, they accept that the devil is strong and powerful, and they accept that they have no authority over the devil. They somehow reason themselves into it. Straight away, you would be put into bondage too. Because a wrong reasoning can cause us to be in bondage. It's just that John Osteen's sister, he was sharing how one day he was driving in a certain direction and God spoke to him to go to his sister who was in a mental asylum. When he went there led by the Spirit, he asked to see his sister. And when his sister came, the anointing of God came upon his life. And the first words he say is, "Don't tell me God did this." Not God, is the devil. And he commanded the enemy to lose a hold of her life. Instantly she was free. Today she's still all right. And this was a testimony. When John said that statement, don't tell me that it's God who did this. She did not hear John's voice. She heard it as if it was the voice of God speaking. And for the first time, she started doubting the reasoning she had earlier. For the first time, she did not accept the fact that this sickness or this problem that she had came from God. And she questioned that reasoning that she formerly had. And the moment she realized that, she came to the conclusion somehow when she heard that voice, hey, it's not God who did this to me. Imagine, for all those many years when she was locked up in the asylum, she thought that it was God who did that to her. Wrong reasoning can put people into bondage. So, there is what I call the reasoning of your conscious mind. That after some time, it sinks into your subconscious and it's taught there. Whether rightly or wrongly. That is why we need the Word of God to renew us. To give us the right principles. So, this part consists of your subconscious mind, the anoia and the entomesis, and the dianoia and the dialogismos is your conscious mind. Right? Subconscious and conscious. One more. Praise the Lord. Yes, my brother. And there's another part of your mind. Right here. And could you stand right in front here? Right. Yes, facing this direction. There's another general part of your mind that is generally called the nous. N-O-U-S. The nous. And that's a part of your mind that relates, that is what I call just the relates to your natural or the spiritual realm. That part of you, the decision maker. You realize that your mind can make a decision. You could decide what to think. Right now, we could suddenly decide to think about a buffet. All the food laid on the table, nicely decorated, and all those things that are there, laid down, delicious looking, steak and chicken, Peking duck, lemon chicken on one side, all types of salads and vegetables, and I better don't go too far, I see some of your saliva dropping now. Right, we make a decision. We could now imagine that we are in a cold country, snow is around, right? Straight away, there's a part of us that definitely makes a decision. There's a part of us that makes a decision whether we tap into dianoia and then anoia, or we tap into dialogismos and then into entomesis. Right? There's a part of us. That's your nous. Your nous. Generally just translated as understanding. Now we are on the topic of growing in visions, developing visions. And this is what happens. Every one of us is born with an ability to see into the spirit realm to a certain degree. But what the enemy has done is that man in a fallen state, their dianoia, Ephesians 4 verse 18, is what? Darkened. And their nous is also darkened. And as a result, man tried to develop and go on into this life, the whole of the education system that you go through school and learn in university to learn, is basically based just on dialogismos. Do you notice that? The IQ test is based on dialogismos. It doesn't test you on your ability to visualize. It just merely tests you on your ability to reach a conclusion from hints and facts and statements here and there. And all our education system and this world system tries to build a successful life from the logical point of view, a development of logic, which is an important aspect of our life. But the rest of the dynamite, all these are what we call darkened. Now today, there is a group called the success-oriented group. They're trying to teach, and they call that psychosomatics and they try to visualize a successful image. They are trying to tap into dianoia, which they try very hard, and to put into people and input and program themselves for success. They're trying to create an image in them. They're trying to tap on dianoia too. But that's not in the regular school system. It's outside. And so realizing that all this part is darkened, we can understand why all men in their state of being today have great difficulty looking into the spirit world and having vision. Now some people may have a greater opening in this area than others. Some people have a greater opening to this area than others. Like some scientists, right? They may develop on this area where they could reach a conclusion with very few facts that others could not. And they could reason deeper. And some artists and all that could develop this part more than others. Some people are more akin to lean on their dianoia than on their dialogismos. Now the enemy and the devil is attacking the noose, and through the noose is preventing people from seeing into the spirit realm. Let's now bring in two extra. I know all these things is a bit of revision for some of you, but let's bring in two extra Greek words, right? And we need to bring in those two in order to build it on this area here. So we are adding teaching to that. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. We still need you guys up here. Praise the Lord. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 14. But their pneuma, which is the development of the word nous. Their pneuma, when you use pneuma, it means the whole, everything. When I use nous, I just refer to this part. When I use the pneuma, I'm referring to this part that is affecting this part and reaching as far in as possible. Right? It's a more encompassing word. But their pneuma, our minds, were hardened. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Then chapter 4, verse 4. Whose minds, or whose pneuma, the God of this age has, what? Say, blinded. Who do not believe, lest the, what's the word? Light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now notice that. What is the enemy doing? The enemy is blocking the pneuma from the light of Jesus Christ. So that the light of Jesus Christ cannot shine through and touch the person. There are different degrees of what I call the entrance of light, spiritual light, into our souls and our spirits, that is our hearts. According to the degree of the spiritual light, you develop the ability to see visions. Some in a small degree, some to a larger degree. And we need this understanding in order to move into the realm of developing visions in our life. Now remember Ephesians 1 that we have read in verse 18. Paul prayed that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation that their dianoia will be flooded with light. So on the one hand, we see the devil trying to block light from going in, preventing people to move into the realm of seeing visions. Now, seeing visions is more primarily this area rather than this area here. Dialogismos and endomesis. It's more from nous, dianoia, enoia, this development. The other development is another teaching on the renewal of the mind, but we are talking about visualizing here on this area. Now with that, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Verse 31. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? That's the word dianoiago. Dianoiago. Now, the word open in verse 32, did not our husband within us while he talked with us, and while he, the Bible says, open the scripture to us. Open the scripture to us. Dianoiago, the scripture to us. There's an opening. Now, the word dianoiago is the normal word translated open. Just the normal word translated as open. That's a powerful word here that Luke chooses to use in Luke chapter 24, verse 32. It mentioned that he opened the scriptures to them. Then verse 31. Their eyes were dianoiago, open. Now, let's analyze the case. The two disciples were walking with Jesus and they didn't know it was Jesus. They saw him physically, but they could not recognize him. Something was blocking them from seeing him. But when they were in that room, something opened and they saw him for who he was. They saw in the spirit realm and they recognized it was the Lord. And then he disappeared. That's telling us something about how God can open us to the spirit world to see vision. Two more scriptures in the same chapter. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 45. And he opened their nous that they might comprehend the scriptures. He dianoiago their nous. Now, this is where we say the nous is. And remember earlier you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 what the devil is doing to your pneuma and nous? He's blinding it. He's preventing light from coming to you. But what is the Lord doing? He's opening it. He's opening the nous so that the light can go through your nous to your dianoia. See, when Paul prayed for their dianoia to be flooded with light, it has to flow through the proper channel. The aperture of your camera, your spiritual camera, is your nous. The aperture is the part of the camera that opens and exposes the film to light. It opens and closes very fast, split seconds. And according to the speed and the length of time it's open, it allows light to go through. So when there's a very low light, the aperture is open for a longer period, longer exposure. And for very fast pictures, you know, our normal cameras will find it difficult to take a picture of a person running. All you see is blur. But what makes some cameras able to take a picture so fast, like a bullet going through the air? You can't possibly take a picture of the bullet going through the air with a normal camera. You can't. All you see is air. But yet they have developed cameras that could photograph a bullet moving. How is that possible? First, there must be sufficient light. And then, the speed of the opening must be so fast and quickly closed up so that only that picture or the bullet go in and quickly close up. Don't let the rest come in, otherwise it blur the whole film. So we see here, using illustration from the natural, that an important part to visualizing is also in our conscious mind, our nose. Whether it's blinded or it's open depends on a great part on our decision too. But it also depends on the Lord. And so, let's lay some groundwork and principles right now with all these conclusions. Number one, in order to see and develop the ability to see visions, we must increase our openness inside us. That is, we need the Lord to open our nose more. And you say, could the Lord do that? Of course He could. Luke 24 verse 45, you have scripture and verse for it. Apparently, the Lord did something to them. We know, of course, that that ties up to the born-again experience. The day that you're born again, God did something. God did a touch on your life. But remember, that's only the beginning. What people fail to do is they fail to develop that further. See, Jesus did something to them in Luke 24, 45. A part of their news, that's the word news there. Noyago, their news. He did something to their news. He made their news a little open. And that openness seems to be necessary to receive spiritual things and spiritual vision. For that is the same word, the word dianoiago is the same word that is used in Acts 16 verse 14. Let's look at Acts 16 verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened or dianoiago her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And the Lord has to do that. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12. Let's read verse 11 and 12. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So apparently, there is a natural man, That is the one that is blinded, and there is a spiritual man that is enlightened. And your nose has an aperture where the light can go in and enlighten and flood your innermost being. So how well and how able you are able to see into the spirit realm depends on your opening of your nose by the Lord, by the working of God. That's the first determination, right? The opening, so that light can come in. So that's number one. It depends on the opening of our nose, or the opening of our understanding to allow the Spirit to work. You notice you could do that even in a meeting. You could come to a meeting with your heart and spirit close up. You're not open to what is taught. You're not open to the, or suppose that you go to a meeting and you have heard some wrong things, and you already have a predetermined, preconceived mind what to reject, because you think that a person is a false prophet or false teacher or something, and you heard it without finding the conclusion, and you just on mere hearsay, you have already formed a conclusion about that person. By the time you come, you're not looking for something to learn. You're looking for something to find fault. There's a part of you that is already close up, instead of being open up. Now that affects your ability to move into the spirit realm. Now you take that a little further and see how in a meeting, let's say in a prayer meeting or in a worship meeting where you pray to God for worship God for long hours, if our mind or nose is not trained, we will normally reject anything that the Lord tries to do. For the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And even if God tries to give you a vision or an inkling of a vision, you would have rejected even that. Because your mind is only trained to receive dialogismos type of ministry. You just want a word upon line, precept upon precept. And you're not opening yourself. Part of the opening is the Lord, part of the opening is you. Your decision. Your free choice. But when you come and you're just hang loose, the Lord could begin to give things to you in the form of a vision that he never did before. The second determination of the ability to see vision is the amount of light. One is the opening. You could have a lot of light, but the opening of your nose could still determine how much light is received. Yet at the same time, you could have very little light around, and you could open your nose to the fullest possible, and yet not much light gets through. So the other determination is the amount of light, the intensity and the degree of light that is available. And that would determine the vision that you're able to see. That is why sometimes in a meeting, in a praise and worship service, or in a place where God's presence is strong, do you know it's easier to move into vision than when you're out there in your office doing your accounting work? See, there are certain places that you find it easier to develop and see vision than before. Now, if you have developed it any place, any time, you know how to move into that. But if you have not developed it, there are certain places where it's easy to develop it than at other times, where there's more intensity of light, spiritual light. And so when we know this teaching, the next time you get into a meeting where there's high intensity of light, or high intensity of worship, prayer, or the word, you open yourself to it and you learn to develop into that realm and you grow into that vision. And you could see into that realm by the permission of God, things will begin to come to you, even in the spirit realm, while you're worshiping. Not something that you cook up, make up, or imagine, but something that is impressed upon your heart from the spirit realm. So train yourself in that kind of meeting. That's the purpose of meetings like that. So that having trained ourselves, then when you get back into the streets and into your offices, in your normal working life, you could learn to open yourself to into the spirit realm and perceive and receive things from God. So there is an opening, and how important the news is for touching the dianoia and the anoia into that realm. Praise God. Thank you. And you can go back to your seats now. God bless you. Let's give Jesus a clap offering for them. And now we're going to get into more teaching like this, right? In the following weeks, we are building bit by bit so that the understanding is clear. But for now, that's the principles that I brought forth, mainly two. That is the opening of our news. We need the Lord to touch us. Now, another determination is the cleanliness of the lenses and the cleanliness of the nerves. See, sometimes when people develop cataracts, the light is still there, but there are blockages. They are there. That's why we need the Word of God to cleanse us. The Word of God to cleanse us, to cleanse our system. Or sometimes everything is okay, but the person lacks nerve cells where the light reaches the inner part of their eyes. The nerve cells are missing, so they are technically blind. Oh, there their iris and their every part of their eyes and everything physical seems to be normal, except they lack the nerves there. Technically, they are blind. Although the light and the image actually hits the back part of their eyes, they cannot perceive because there are no nerve cells. We realize that in our eyes, there's a part of our eyes called the blind spot, right? You learn about it in simple biology. Now, why is it a blind spot? Because at that certain spot, there are no nerve cells. So at a certain place, you cannot pick up any picture. And the wonderful thing in the spirit realm is that these nerve cells in the spirit realm that sees and catches these pictures that come. See, we are getting the spirit. We are getting input from the spirit realm all the time. The images that are coming from the spirit realm all the time. So our ability to receive them depends on whether we are open or closed. And of course, it also depends on intensity of light. The greater the intensity of the spiritual light, the greater you can pick up from the spirit realm. And the other third factor is that it depends on whether we have the spiritual nerve cells to pick it up or not. The wonderful news is that we can develop the spiritual nerve cell. We could grow into the spirit realm. Where before, you could be a very, very logical person to just develop your dialogismos, which I was that way. I mean, I'm a very logical person, line upon line, precept upon precept. And I never thought that the day would ever come that I could move into visions. Never thought that is my realm. Remember, I'm not born with that ability, you know, when you see visions all the time. And, you know, some people seem to be akin to that. But I'm not. And I have to grow into that area and develop. And believe me, from the time I was a young Christian, I literally prayed to God, and God, I love to see visions. But it was later on, as by the grace of God, I grew in the Word that God allowed me to see visions. And as I see the development here, I realize, hey, this is not something that is special. This is something that every Christian can develop, can grow in, I realize. That's why we're teaching, so that you could realize that that is where it starts. And the first place it starts is in the realm of your dianoia. As the light floods it, you begin to see pictures. And now, when I begin to say about these things, some of you will have it, but it's blurred. Right? Some of you, you're seeing pictures and it's blur. You see the spirit realm, and let's say right now, close your eyes and visualize Jesus. Somebody say, hey, how to visualize Jesus? What does he look like? See? Some of you are having that difficulty. Others of you, when you close your visualizer, all you see is a bright light. Right? Now you can open your eyes again. don't fall asleep. And do you realize that for some of us, it's very blur. Very, very blur. Well, that's where we are growing and developing. Do you know that in a natural world, when a child is born, an infant is born, that the little baby cannot focus their eyes properly yet? No, little babies that are born cannot focus their eyes properly yet. But as the baby grows, from the time it first comes out from the womb and it is grows and develops, then its eyes begin to focus. So the first few moments or the first few weeks of a baby's life, it depends a lot on sound. It recognizes sound. But through time, as a baby's eyes develop to focus properly, it can go by sight and recognition. Right? That's a true fact in the natural. So in the same way, when we all were new Christians, newborn babes in Christ, guess what? Most of you went by sight, by hearing. Praise the Lord. Oh, Margaret, you're around. Praise the Lord. And most of you went by hearing. The problem is many Christians just go by hearing all their lives. Can you imagine a little baby growing up, never seeing the father or mother? Perfect eyes, but refuse to develop. And every time they say, oh, that's the voice of my papa, that's the voice of my mama, the rest of the baby's life. It's a horrible thought. I mean, if there was a defect, that's understandable. But if there's a potential to develop that and it's not. And the thing about the spiritual world is that we got to grow into that. It's not going to come automatically. And sometimes we don't grow into that because we don't realize we could do it. Or we could even grow into that. But we could. And so we began to grow into that where we began to see spiritual things. We began to see spiritual visions. Now, what I'm teaching has nothing to do with what I call the gift of discerning of spirit, which is a gift. That's a real gift of visions that God does work. Remember, we got to differentiate between three things. Just as you differentiate between developing in prophesying, the gift of prophecy, the ministry of prophecy, the ministry of prophesying, and the gift of a prophet. Right? Four things. We got to differentiate between the normal Christian growth in the ability to perceive and see into the spirit world, and from the gift of discerning of spirits, which is a gift from God, and from a ministry that can develop into the area. The whole area altogether, whether a prophet or what, the seer, the Old Testament call them a seer. That's different. So if you are going to confuse that, then what we are teaching will not be applicable. You could take it and you say, hey, that brother there and the pastor is teaching, then you know, everybody can be a prophet and all this. That's wrong. I'm not teaching that. Those are the gifts and the callings of God. So we differentiate between the office of a prophet, the ministry of prophesying, the gift of prophecy, and the normal ability to learn to prophesy. Of course, it's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14 says, you all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn. The learning is there. So in the same way, there are different categories of visions. Remember that. There's a realm where some people are born and bred with. That is a gift. If you're called to be a prophet, from the time you're born, you may see your vision. That's different. I'm not talking about that. So there, not everybody has. But we are focusing on certain areas where the believer can develop in. It's a part and parcel of them. Their dianoia. Their visualizing ability that is there to see the things of God. And that can be developed. As we learn to open ourselves, as we learn to recognize intensities of light where we can focus on. It's just like if there's darkness right now in this place and you switch off all the lights, it takes a different training to recognize objects. And so there are different degrees of spiritual light that can affect your ability to see. And also your inherent ability and development. Praise God. So three areas. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for this time that we can consider your word. We pray, oh Father God, that you continue to teach us, teach our lives, that we may grow in you like little children, Father, growing to develop not only one sense of hearing, but the sense of sight spiritually. That we may be fully mature and grow into the full ability that you have inherent for what a perfected spirit man should be. We thank you, Father God, that you continue to train us and teach us that your people may know you and may see you and may have all their five spiritual senses developed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's rise together and worship the Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.